As it turned out, Catherine had become a bit of a flibbertigibbet in her career, flipping from one company to the next, leaving due to ill health or her nerves, or because she was looking for the next much-needed distraction. She would move from the roller-bearing company to an insurance company, to a motor car firm and back again, never staying in one place especially long, always having to leave for one reason or another. Anyway, wherever it was she was working, most of her earnings had to go on medical treatment. Her state of mind worried her father, William, she knew. He was so good to her, always trying to lift her spirits, or paying one of her doctor's bills from his own wages. He didn't earn much. He was a janitor in a factory, and the family lived in a dingy third-floor flat. But he was happy to give all he could to his daughter if it would make her well. This summer, Catherine planned to take a much-needed rest. She was only 22, an age Irene had never seen, she realised sadly, and she needed to remember what it was to feel young. All this worry was dragging her down. Yet when July 1924 arrived, Catherine noted, "I could not go away. The condition in my jaw was causing me considerable anxiety, and I decided to consult a skilled dental surgeon in New York City. I had to use my vacation money for a new set of X-rays." By chance, although perhaps not given his standing in his field, she chose to consult Dr. Bloom, who was also treating Hazel Couser. Back in May, Catherine had had another tooth pulled by a different dentist, as was now becoming the distressing norm. The socket had not healed. The infection was agonising. "The pain I have suffered," she said, "could only be compared with the pain caused by a dentist drilling on a live nerve, hour after hour, day after day, month after month." When Bloom examined her in July 1924, he advised work to be done when she is in a physical condition to have it done. Until then, Catherine had to return home unaided. It was the not knowing what was wrong that was the worst thing, she thought. "I had stopped at nothing in an effort to regain my lost health," she mused dejectedly. "But so far I had failed. No one was able to help me." She was at Bloom's office again and again over the summer, not quite the vacation she had planned. Once, she was compelled to obtain an emergency appointment after suffering agonies in the entire right side of her head. She pulled her blonde hair back from her thin face in his office, trying to demonstrate to Bloom where the plane was, all down the right side of her skull. Bloom gently probed at her swollen jaw, and, upon pressure, pus discharged from the tooth socket. Catherine felt it burst into her mouth and felt sick. "Why should I be so afflicted?" she would later ask. "I have never harmed a living thing. What have I done to be so punished?" On one of her visits to Bloom, she ran into Hazel, who was there for treatment too. She was unrecognisable. This mysterious new condition in some patients led to grotesque facial swellings, literal footballs of fluid sprouting from their jaws, and it seems Hazel may have been afflicted in this way. Accompanied by her mother, she was in no condition to talk. It was Grace Vincent, having to be her daughter's voice, who told Catherine that Hazel had been seeing Bloom for the past 6 months. It could not have been a good advertisement for the dentist's skills. Before the summer was out, Hazel would be rushed to hospital in New York, where she would stay for 3 months, far from her family and Theo in Newark. To pay for her hospital treatment, her husband mortgaged their home to the hilt. And Hazel and Catherine weren't the only ones seeing doctors. Back in Orange, Quinton MacDonald was finding it harder and harder to look after her little ones. Her daughter, Helen, was now 4 years old, Baby Robert had just turned one. It was the pain in her hip that was the problem, shooting all down her right leg. She was hobbling about now with more than just a noticeable limp. It was more like a lurch as she stumbled from one foot to the next. It was the strangest thing, but, she said, it seemed to me that one leg was shorter than the other. She must be imagining it. All the 24 years of her life, her limbs had measured up straight. Why would that suddenly change now?